gun.
Okay, after wishing everyone Shavua Tov, today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. And we'll begin with Omar Rabbi Chanina, which you'll find on the third line down from the top of the Omud. Now, you may recall that there was an expert by the name of Nechunya, who would dig the boros, he would dig the cisterns for water to gather. And he was punished, even though he was absolutely fantastic, and he was very much what you call selfless, concerned only with the community. But apparently on one particular occasion, we don't know the details, he messed up, and he wasn't as careful as he should have been, and as a result, the Gemara records that he lost the son. Omar Rab Chanina, Manti Omar Rachmona Vatron. Anyone who declares that God waives, W-A-I-V-E, waives a person's iniquities, and he's laid back, God will always be over al pshoim, and God is so merciful that he will not punish you. Such a person, Yevatro B'nei Me'oni. The intestines, if you recall, we spoke about yesterday, the gastro system, will bring about his death. He will have some sort of internal disease as a punishment. And Rashi, because this Gemara also appears in Masechta Bava Kamma, there Rashi comments that the reason why the Torah is so strict and so harsh in meting out justice against someone who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Vatron is because he basically removes the inhibition for sin. And in Rashi's Lashon, Hu more heta lebrios lachto, people will think you can sin and get away with it, God is a Vatron. Elamarech Rucha, but although it's true that God is Erech HaPayim, he's long-winded, all that means is that he delays punishment. Instead of meeting out punishment immediately, he gives a person an opportunity to do tshuva. But Gavi Didei, Gavi is Miloshen Gove, when a person demands payment for a debt that's owed him, God will ultimately demand payment. If you don't do tshuva, then the Midas HaDin will be meted out against the person. Amar Rav Acha Ksiv, the Torah says in Tehillim, Usvivav Nisaga Me'od. Svivav, which means close proximity, in this case to the Shechina. And who are those who could be categorized and described as close to the Shechina? These are the Tzadikim. But Nisaga Me'od. And the Gemara wants to analyze this word Nisaga. And if you take the word nisaga and you just change the hey, in other words, you add a hey to the nishara, instead of nishara, it's ha-sa'ara. And sa'ara, as you know, is a sair, is a hair. Midagdek imoim kichut ha-sa'ara. God is especially meticulous and demanding and harsh in meeting out punishment to a tzaddik who's svivav, who's in close proximity to him. So the greater you are spiritually, the more God is demanding and expecting of you. He anticipates you to live on a high level, and if you fall below the level, you'll pay the price. Amar Rabbi Yossi, lo mitam hazeh. He says, I'm not going to derive it from your elucidation of the word nisava. Ella, but rather me might sit from a different pasuk in Tehillim, v'nora hu al kol svivav. Again, the word svivav means the close proximity. God is, as Rashi says over there in Bava Kamma, matil emas mishpatov. He's nora. Nora is a lashon mora of awe, and God generates awe on the tzaddikim. They have a certain fear. Moro ala krovim yosim and arachokim. And those who are closer to Hashem will experience this awe and this fear even to a greater degree than others. Rabbi Chagai b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman tells us the following story. Maisa b'chosid echad, and the Mefarshim say that this alludes to Nehemiah, the person who dug the cisterns. Shayachofer boros, shichin umaoros, these are different types of caves and cavities in the ground. We over in Vishavin. He did it totally out of selfless care for the community, that the people should have access to water whenever they need so, especially as we mentioned yesterday, the Ole Regel. And yet, Pamachas, despite his great sacrifice on behalf of the community, one time, Haisabito Veres Lihinose, this is a tragedy of tragedies, his daughter was on her way to the Chuppah, Ushtafa Nahar, and a wave of a river came and swept her away. Havin kol ama olin gabe ba'un l'nachtume. Everybody came to Nechunya to be menachem him, to console him on the loss of his daughter. V'lo kibil iloi misnachama. He refused to accept any consolation. In effect, he, by implication, because in the mitzvah of Nichma Velim, there are two aspects. One is the obligation upon the community to console the bereaved. The other is on the person who's an avel to receive consolation. Because when you accept consolation, which is called Kabbalas Nechama, what it indicates is that you accept the divine justice. And he refused.
It's an Avera.
To refuse consolation is an Avera. The only exception was Yaakov Avinu, who refused to be consoled about the death of his son Yosef. But why?
Because his son wasn't dead.
Because Yosef was not dead. And the same story you'll see. I don't want to let the punchline, you'll wait for the punchline of this story. Oh, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yara Legabei. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yara heard about this great Nechunya. So he came to be Menachem him. And boy, Menachme, of course, v'lo kibbel ilui menasma, and Nechunya refused to be consoled. Om alone, he turns to the local people, and he says to them, Dein hu chasidchon? This is your chasid? That he refuses, eino makabel gzeres shamayim bi'ava? And you and I know all sorts of stories about greats who, despite terrible tragedies, they accepted the will of God. This is a special level of chassidim. Amule Rabbi, the reason why his avelus, his level of grief and mourning is so profound that he cannot even accept consolation, is because kacha kacha yo osa. His contribution to the community, his selflessness, expressed itself in water. And now, kach v'kach irole? How could it be possible that the water itself would carry away his daughter to her death? Omar Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor, if that's the case, then it's impossible. He says, Efshar shayim mechabed es boro b'mayim. The way that he honored the Almighty is through water. V'yem mechapcho b'mayim, and through water itself would bring about his punishment, this great destruction of his daughter. Miyad nafla havara. All of a sudden, the word got out. This is called a kol havar. If you're familiar with it, it means like a rumor, a sound, a noise. People were spreading the word. But here in that city, basa bito shaloso ish. She came back with 2 feet. On 2 feet, she was alive and well. It's like I remember when my Rebbe used to take attendance in the morning. So he got to Schwartz. So Schwartz himself was embarrassed because he thought if Rav Soloveitchik would look at him, he would call on him to read. That was the scariest thing, if he called on you to read the Gemara. That's how he tested you to know. So Schwartz yells out, Rebbe, he couldn't come today. So Rav Soloveitchik says, all right, you read the Gemara. Then there was another story about someone who said about himself that When Rav Soloveitchik called on him to read, he said, oh, so he got to his friend's name on this. So he called on his friend to read. So he said, look, he's not feeling well today. And then when he got to the end of the list, that person came into shir. In other words, he was just late to shir. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ba Harug Baraglav. The deceased came in his own feet, meaning he wasn't dead. So here the daughter of Nechunya came on her own feet. Isti Amri. Some say she was saved from this water miraculously. Besochta is oris. Sochta is a plantation of what we call arava trees. I think in English it's called willows. The arava. Now, the willow tree has various branches, and as the water was carrying her away, her hair got caught up in these branches, and that's what saved her. It's the Amri, according to another version, Malach Yorad Min HaShamayim Bidmus Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair V'Yitzila. Once Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair made this statement, this insight, that it's impossible. How could God allow water, which was his great contribution to Chumya, to be the method of his punishment for his daughter? So therefore, a Malach came down in the vision, looked at in the guise of Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, and saved her. Miraculous. We go on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us a list of various people who contributed to the Beis HaMikdash. Gvini, Karos. What does Karos mean? So we know that his name was Gvini. Karos is Miloshan Hachroza. Like if you ever learn Elu Mitzias, right? You find the lost object, Yechayven Hachroza, to announce it. What did he announce? The Beis HaMikdash, Maya Omer Imdu Kohanim Lavoda. Daybreak, it's time for the Kohanim to wake up and do the Avoda. Levi'im L'duchanam. There was a special duchan, a platform from which the Levi'im would sing their songs. V'Yisrael L'ma'amadam. You know that the people of Israel were divided up into 24 groups. Each group would be dedicated to come to the Beis HaMikdash from wherever they were, even from near Etzion, and they would come to be Omed Al-Ma'amados. They stood on a platform, because the law is that a carbon tzibur requires that the bialim come, and it's impossible to get all of the tzibur of Klal Yisrael to be there at the time of that karava, so they needed representation. And who were the representatives? Those were the ma'amados. So everybody got 2 weeks in the year when he would come to the Beis HaMikdash together with his mishmeres, and he would be there representing the tzibur at the time that the carbon tzibur was brought. Agrippa Samel Shoma Kolo, the king of Israel, at that time, heard the voice of Gvini when he went around waking up people to come to the Beis HaMikdash. At Shmona Parsos, at a distance of 8 Parsos. Now keep in mind, we're talking about an area of 8,000 Amos. Now it's not clear exactly what the Amma is, even to this day there's a debate about the Amma, but it's approximately what we would call 3 miles. At a distance of 3 miles, he heard the voice of Gvini. Ad Shmona Parsos, v'nosan lo matonis harbe. He was so impressed with Gvini and his dedication that he showered upon him gifts.
Stoma, this was before the time of microphones.
Correct. There were no microphones at that time. I don't know if any of you learned in the yeshivas in a dormitory situation. There was always a young man in the yeshiva who was in charge. It was his responsibility to wake up the other boys. He was called the veker. Milashon avek. You know, avek means to wake up. To vek him. I remember when I was 16 years old, I spent the summer in Kfar Chabad. That was a deal I worked out with my father, that I'd have to learn yeshiva for a summer if I came to Israel. So the veker was this Yemenite guy. He was like gigantic, and he came around with a stick and he would bang on the doors. And boy, when you saw this guy coming through the door with that stick and he was, you know, this massive guy, you got up, you know. So, anyway, Ben Gever, so an individual by the name Ben Gever was in charge of Al Ne'ilas Sha'arim. His tafkid was to lock the doors of the Beis HaMikdash at night at the end of the day. Now, the Gemara goes on in a tangent here because his name was Ben Gever. Gever in Aramaic is Gavra, and there's a Mishnah in Yuma that talks about daybreak, the earliest time for what's called the Trumas Adeshen, when they took the ashes off the Mizbeach in the morning to start preparing for the new day of Haktar al Gabi Mizbeach. And it says there that there was something called Krus Gever. That's when the earliest time in the morning was to start the beginning. Again, Shuvas Hadesh is not exactly an avoda, but we'll call it an avoda for our purposes, the first avoda of the day. So what does that mean, krus gever? So the Mishnah says in Yuma, lo hoysa kriyas hagever magas ad shehoysa azora maleim Yisrael. The azora, which literally translates as the courtyard, was full of Jewish people even before daybreak. They were so eager to be there for the beginning of the day. And the Gemara Masechta Yuma records a machlokes, how to interpret that phrase, kriyas hagever. What does that mean, gever? Rav understood kriyas hagever means kriyas gavra. There was a human being, a person, who was in charge of the cruise, like we have here this guy by the name of Ben Gever. He was the one who would announce, you know, they didn't have, as you say, microphones. He would announce that it's time to begin the day in the Beis HaMikdash. However, Rabbi Shiloh, by the way, the name Shiloh, Shin Yud Lamed Aleph, has to do with the Pasuk Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Sometimes it's Shilat with a Tav at the end for Tamid, and sometimes it's written with an Aleph at the end. But it always refers to Shivisi Hashem. Now this Rabbi Shiloh disagreed with Rav, and he said that the word Gever, or Gavra, is a reference to the rooster. Like we say every morning, no sing la sech vivina. And once you heard the Tarnagolas in the morning, I very often walk from Har Nof, where I live, to Katamon at a very early hour in the morning, like when there's 2 days of Yontif, so I split my time. And inevitably I hear the rooster. And it's very early, it's still dark out. So that's called Kra Tarnagola. So one time, Rav found himself in the area of Rabbi Shiloh, and Rabbi Shiloh was giving a lecture. Now, as you know, the word Amora was the person into whose ear the Rav, the Rebbe, would give the drasha. He would just speak to him in a low voice in Lashon Kodesh. And the Amora was in charge of transmitting it to the people in Aramaic on a very loud voice, because if the Rebbe was going to raise his voice, he would lose his voice. So this case, on this occasion, Rabbi Shiloh did not have an Amora, and no one recognized Rav. It wasn't like today, you know, you're always on the front cover of Mishpacha magazine. They didn't have Mishpacha magazine. So nobody knew it was Rav, and Rav offered his services for Rabbi Shiloh to serve as his Amora. Tirgame Rav, and when it got to this Mishnah in Yoma, and Rabbi Shiloh mentioned Kriyas HaGever, so Rav, when he translated it into Aramaic, Komi Debeis, Rabbi Shiloh, in front of those people in the audience of Rabbi Shiloh, Tirgem Rav, he interpreted as Kra Gavra. And that wasn't Rabbi Shiloh's opinion, because he understood it was the Tarnagolas, not the Gavra, not the person. Achers Kroza. And what he had in mind was this person who was in charge of projecting his voice to wake up the Kohanim, the Levim, the Israelim, and so forth for the Migdosh. Amalei Rabbi Shiloh says to him, you're making a mistake. I heard what you said. Amor, you should have said Kra Tarnagola. That Kriyas HaGever means that it was time for the Trumas Hadesh when the Tarnagolas, the rooster, said cock-a-doodle-doo, right? Amalei, so Rav turns to Rav Shiloh. He says, Vataninon. But the Mishnah says, Ben Gever, here in Masechta Shkolim. So the Mishnah in Shkolim clearly indicates that Gever is referring to a human being, because we identified Ben Gever as the person who was in charge of proclaiming it's time to wake up. Islach Lememar, Bar Tarnagola? He asked him in a facetious way as a rhetorical question, therefore you're going to tell me that the word Gever in the Mishnah in Yuma is referring to a Tarnagola? What are you going to do with our Mishnah? Obviously, the word Gever refers to a person. We go on. Ben Bevi Al HaPakia. You remember that in the menorah, on a daily basis, they had to remove yesterday's psilos, the wicks and the oils that were now filthy from yesterday. And the person in charge of this whole operation was Ben Bevi. Now, Ben Bevi would not only remove yesterday's wicks, but he would replace them with new wicks. That this required a very uncanny kisharon, a very incredible talent. Why? Because this Hatovas HaNeiros took place twice a day, 12 hours each, and the light had to last for that 12-hour period. Now, the winter has a shorter day and a longer night. The summer has a longer night and a shorter day. So it was very critical to know exactly the size, precisely the size of the wicks, so that the wicks would last that full period of time, whether it was daylight, whether it was nighttime. Hu haya mezayeg psilos. The Chacham entrusted him with this responsibility to place the amount of shemen, which is called a chatziluk shemen, that was needed both in the morning and the evening. And not only that, but to create psilos that were thin enough or thick enough to last for that period of time. Rabbi Yossi Oil Lekufra. Rabbi Yossi showed up in a place called Kufra, Bo mi Minayu Lailan Parnasan. So Rabbi Yossi wanted to appoint over them what we call Parnasim. Parnasim are those who are in charge of representing the Tzibur and supervising to guarantee that all the needs of the community are attended to. Velo Kiblun Minon. And no one in the entire city of Kufra would agree to accept the appointment. Oil the Omar Komeham, when Rabbi Yossi became aware of the fact that he couldn't find one volunteer. You know that when somebody looks out at a crowd for a volunteer, all of a sudden everybody lowers their head, you know. Like Rav Soloveitchik used to look at us and wonder who would read the Gemara. All of a sudden everyone's head was, you know, somebody dropped a pen. So one time I remember, I don't know if you know any of these names, where Rav Schechter was sitting up front. And just as the Rav raised his eyes, so Rav Schechter leaned over to pick up a pen. Behind him was Rav David Miller. So he leaned over to his right. And now the Rav is looking straight ahead at a guy named Yankala. So Yankala goes like this. So the Rav says, what is it, bowling pins today? Anyway, so this is what happened. No one was willing to volunteer. And the Omar Komeun, he said in front of them, look, our Mishnah says Ben Bevi Alapkia. Why did our Mishnah go out of its way to identify the person who volunteered to take this task on? Obviously, he would accept upon himself this responsibility. He was cleaning up the wicks. I mean, it's something that you and I might think is below our dignity. He didn't find it below our dignity. And we give him such a praise that his name is mentioned for all posterity in the Mishnah. Uma im zeshen isman al apsil zochel imonosim gdoli ador. He's listed together, as we said yesterday, with Mordechai. And he was willing to lower himself to do this job. Is atem shatem nismanim al chayin nefoshos. I'm asking for someone to attend to the city's needs, even if it's it includes even a situation of danger for life. Like, for example, we spoke about the water supply and so forth and so on. To oversee all this operation is Lo Kol Shekein. What a great merit it would be. And if we mentioned a person who was only in charge of the wicks, and he's listed for all eternity in the Mishnah, how much more so if you would offer and volunteer your services for the sake of the entire community when it's a matter of life and death. Ben Arza Al Hatzilzal. You remember we spoke about the musical instruments. So the music would accompany the vocal songs of the Levian. And we always needed one person to, not correlate, what word am I looking
tune,
for?
Tune the instruments.
No. What I mean to say is, what's the word in English when you want two things to happen at to synchronize? To coordinate. Excellent. Coordinate. My friend Malka here gives me the word. Coordinate. I owe you one. And we had to coordinate between the avoda that went on top of the Mizbeach, which is called the Gag HaMizbeach, and the singing of the Levium, which was on the ground of the Azara, where the Dukhan was. Now, how do you synchronize these two? So you needed some sort of an opening sound that would say it's now, like for example, when you have a choir, right? You have a choir leader, and the choir leader will tell the choir exactly at what point to start singing. So this person was in charge of the tzaltzel. The tzaltzel was what we call the cymbal. And as soon as he banged the cymbal and the musical instrument started to play, the Levim started to sing. And he knew that up on top of the Gag HaMizbeach, that's when they did the Avodah, the Haktoras HaImurim, and he knew at that point, that's when they had to sing. So he would start this musical instrument, the tzaltzel. Ki hada sanidin tamon, this is a mission at the end of Masech Tamin, that the Skan, who is second in command to the Kohen Gadol, heinif haskan besudarim, his symbol to notify the Levim that it's time to sing the song, and that is when on the Keren HaMizbeach, on top of the Gag, there were four kronos, four corners, and they did what's called Nisach Hayayin. At that point, the Levim had to begin to sing. Vehikish ben Arza, and ben Arza was down on the ground, so you have the Skan Kohen Gadol on the top, and you had ben Arza with his symbols on the bottom. As soon as the Skan Kohen Gadol waved the flag, that means they were about to start the Nisach Hayayin, at that point, that's when ben Arza would use his instrument, and the Levim would start singing, and those who were playing instrumentals would play their instrumentals, alatzilta. Hugras ben Levi al-Ashir. He had a beautiful voice. Now every choir needs some voice that would sort of lead them, and they would follow his beautiful voice. This was the responsibility of Hugras. Amrav Acha Ne'ima Yisera HaYodea. He had a beautiful voice, Ne'ima Yisera. V'omru Olav al-Hugras ben Levi Shoyaman Imes Kolo Bezemer, that when he started singing, in order to reach the high notes, he would put his finger into his mouth so that his voice came from his throat. He produced various tones and beautiful sounds. It made such an impact on the Kohanim who was serving in the Mikdash that they jumped. They jumped backwards when they heard his song. You know that the Vilna Gaon writes that if we today, with our lower level of neshamas, would hear the sounds of the Levim as they sung at the time of Beis HaMikdash, our neshama would not be able to tolerate it. The neshama would leave the goof. We have no clue of the intensity and the profound nature of the songs of the Levim. Beis Garmu al Maisa Lechem Aponim. They are in charge of preparing the Lechem Aponim. And you might ask, what's the big deal? I'm not a baker, but I could probably bake if I need to. You put the water into the flour, you mix it up, you get a dough, you put it into the oven, take it out of the oven, vuss it. What's the big deal? It was a big deal. First of all, you had to bake the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim was not like our loaves of bread. It's machlokas in the Gemara. In Masechta Menachos, exactly what they looked like, but it was a very odd shape. It was almost like a structure that was open on top, or according to one man the Omer, it was flat on the bottom. Very complicated to bake it. You had to create a tzura. What do they call it? When you make cookies, you put it in that mold, or what? What would you call it?
A mold.
A mold. Yeah, that's what I thought. And not only that, Ridioso means you have to be Rodes Hapas. That was a Chachma. The Gemara in Shabbos calls it a Chachma. It's not a Malacha, but you had to know how to take it out, especially in that fragile Lechem Aponim, that it wouldn't fall apart and crumble. But V'lo Ratzu L'lamed, they had this expertise and they didn't want to transmit it to others. And we're going to see this over and over again in the Gemara about the Ketores, now about the Lechem Aponim. Sholchu Chachamim Ve'viu Umna Me Alexandria. So they sent out to Egypt, to Alexander, and they brought experts, hoping that they would be able to do exactly what this base Garmu did. But there was only one problem. Although they create the shape of the Lechem Aponim and bake it in the oven, they didn't know how to take it out of the oven in a way that it wouldn't fall apart. Uberidioso lo hoyu bekiim. Is Beisgarmu hoyu masikin mi bifnim. What Beisgarmu were able to do with their incredible talent was to turn on the fire inside. They would bake the bread inside the oven in a metal cast or mold that was special for the lechem aponim. And once the lechem aponim was already totally baked, it was a fui called sarko, then they could remove the cast or the mold from the hot oven, v'rodim mibachutz, and they were able to take it out, remove it from the oven, and it was in perfect condition. V'lo hoysa misapeshes, and it wouldn't collapse, it wouldn't get ruined. But v'yelu, but these from Alexandria, with all due respect, are you masikim mibifnim? Although they were able to light the fire and heat up the oven inside and put the cast of the dough inside the oven, v'rodim mibifnim, but nevertheless, they didn't know how to take it out of the oven in a way that it wouldn't collapse. So they did the radia. They already separated the bread that was inside the cast from the cast while it was still inside the oven. That didn't do the job. And what happened is, hoysa misapeshes, it would collapse. Kevin sheyodu chacham b'dover hazeh. When the Chachamim realized that these great umnun that came from, you know, the import from Alexandria weren't helping them, Amru, they declared Kol Mashem Borak. Now they're trying to influence the Beis Garmu to come back. You know, they sort of removed them and expelled them because, as you remember before, they didn't want to teach anyone else. They hoarded this expertise to themselves. But now the Chacham declare, Kol Mashem Borak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'chvodo Borak, everything that God created, all the talents that we're endowed with, are all for the sake of bringing out the glory of God. Shenemar, Pasukim Mishlei, Kol Pal Hashem L'maneu. God gives Chachma, wisdom, for the sake of bringing out His glory to anyone He wishes, He desires to. And therefore you, Beis Garmu, God gave you this tremendous, unique gift. You should be using it for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, and to bring out the glory of Hashem, Sholchach Reim, and the Chachamim asked the Beis Garmu to please return to their Melacha, V'lo Ratzu Lava. They got very sensitive, they were rejected, they didn't want to come back to work. Ad Shekaflu Lehem Schara, they made him what we call in mafioso terms an offer that he can't refuse, and they doubled their salary. Until that point, Shnei Masar Mona Hayunot Lim, they would get a massive amount. This is probably on an annual basis. A massive, because the Gemara says, I think for a year's upkeep, all you need, I think, is three manim, or a fraction of this. So they, on an annual basis, they were highly paid, 12 manim, and now, Nasalem Esrim V'Arba, they doubled it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Esrim V'Arba, you know, Nasalem Arba Mushmona. They doubled it from 24 manim to 48 manim. Amr lehem the Chachamim now turn to the Beis Garmu. Mipnei ma te'ein atem rotzim lelamed. Why don't you want to share your great talents and your recipes, your expertise with others? Why are you hoarding it for yourselves? Amr lehem. Beis Garmu responded, Misorasi biyodenu me'avosenu. We have a tradition that was passed on from our forefathers. Shabbayis hazeh osid licharev. That there will be a destruction. Now you have to keep in mind, just as an introduction to the next few words of the Gemara, that at the time of Bayis Sheni, one sin that was rampant was Avodah Zarah. And that even dates back to Bayis Rishon. Now you and I don't understand beans about Avodah Zarah. I mean, if you pass some sort of a temple, I don't know, I never went all the way far east enough to see this with my eyes. You'll laugh. I mean, what kind of business is this? You know, idols, idolatry, right? It says that they have eyes, but they can't see. But at the time of Chazal, before the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the Gemara reports about Kama, what they did to pray to Hashem to destroy the Yetzahara, the Gemara says about, I forget who was, Rav Oshia, that if he was at the time before the Ashkenazi, he would have ran to the idol. It was such an intense passion to worship idolatry. Again, this is something totally foreign to us.
About the Raven, he's talking about our friend Menashe. And Menashe came to him that night and said, how dare you call me your friend?
Right.
said, if you would have been, and he tested him.
Who was it? Do you remember which Amora was it?
No, yeah.
He says you would have lifted up your skirts in order to run, to worship the idols.
Because Menashe asked him more questions. And he said, if you were such a Talmid Chacham, how could you follow idols? He said to Menashe. Said if you would have been there, you would have fucked up the
right.
Skirts and you would have run with me.
So that's what this base Garma was worried about. That if they gave the secret of the lechem aponim to others, lo yilmedu acher v'yasu lifnei avodas zarah shalahem, they would actually take this incredible ability, and they would use it as part of the worship, the idolatry in the monasteries of the idols. So it seems that they were motivated l'shem shemayim. It wasn't that they were trying to be selfish and hoard it for themselves. B'dvar malolo maskirin osan l'shvach. And in this light, the Gemara says we have to change our presentation about Beis Garmu and speak about them in positive laudem. Shlo yotzam biyad bneim pas nekiyam me'olam shlo yomrim mimaisa lechem aparim shem ochlim. None of their descendants would ever eat from what's called a pas nekiyah, that's refined flour, because the fear was that if they would eat from refined flour, people would suspect them of taking from the lechem upon them for themselves. And the Torah says, v'yisem nekiyu, that you should never do something that would arouse the suspicion of others that maybe you're violating the law of the Torah. Beis Avtinus, the same story that we just had with the Beis Garmu, with regard to lechem upon them, we have now with the Beis Avtinus regarding the Maisa Ketores. To create the Ketores was a very complicated required a complicated talent in two different ways. Number one, to know exactly the proportions, identify all of the samamonim that went into the Ketores, but there was another talent that was necessary. And that's what we're going to learn about now. They knew how to take all these samamonim and crush them to create the Ketores, but that's not enough. And even moreover, v'maila ha'ashan. There was a certain kind of a vegetation, of an asev, some sort of a grass, a special grass, which is called maila ashan, and it had to be added to the ketores because it would guarantee that the timras is the pillar of smoke, would go vertically up to shamayim, and then it would spread out in all directions. And you needed to add this mala oshan. And they knew exactly how to identify that grass. You know, in our society, the word grass can mean many different things. And there's better grass and not such good grass. So those who smoke grass, they probably know how to identify the best grass. But there was one grass that was not for smoking, but it was for setting up the pillar of the Ketores. And this base of Tinus, they were the experts. They knew exactly how to identify that grass. That's the one you want. V'lo rotzel elame, they didn't want to share this knowledge with anyone else. Oh, so the Chacham say, okay, you're such big shots. Go home. We can do without you. Sholchu v'viu umnim yalaksandri shal mitzrayim v'hoyu b'kiyim b'pitum haktores. So they sent Alexandria, and they probably got some chalabim who were in Egypt, and they brought him to do the Pitum HaKetores. And they were pretty good at it. They were experts. But one thing they didn't know how to do. But Maila Oshin Lohibakim, they couldn't identify the Maila Oshin. Now, if you bring a Ketores without Maila Oshin, Yechayev Misa Bidei Shavai, that's a severe violation. Shel Beis Avtinus Hoysa Mitameres V'Ola Kimakel. Because the Beis Avtinus knew how to add this Maila Oshin, it went up straight like a staff. Posa, and then when it reached its high point, it would go downwards via redes, and it would spread around in the right and the left. The Ketores reached all the way to Yericho, the Gemara says in Yuma. Vishal Elu, but these Alexandrians, Hoysa Posa Miad, immediately, since they didn't have the identity of the Mala Oshan, immediately, as soon as the smoke went up, it started going down. It didn't go all the way vertically up. Came and she yodu chacham b'dover. Amru, kol mashabor HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chvodobar. Shenemar kol anikra b'shmi l'chvodi barasiv. The different girsos here in the Yerushalmi, some have the girsa that they quoted the pasuk kol pol Hashem l'maneu. Sholch lach reim v'lo ratzu lovat. Shekofu lem scharam. How much money do they have to double their salary? Shnei masar money notlim, v'notlim mas esrim yavar, they gave him 24 money. And Rabbi Yudomer, esrim yavar, their original salary was 24, and notlim arboy mishmona, they doubled it to 48. Omer lehem, mipnei ma ein atem rotzim lelamed, why don't you want to share your great knowledge with others? Omer lehem esorasi biyodeni mevaseni shabayis osid li charek. And therefore, when Chazal realized that they had a L'shem Shemayim reason, they weren't just trying to selfishly hoard it for themselves, we have to praise them. Look at this. When a kala goes to the chuppah, then she puts on fragrant smelling senses, correct? And every kala from the descendants of this Beis Avtinus took upon herself that she would not wear any of these fragrances. Now, can you imagine a kala on the wedding day to give up on these fragrances? But the reason why is they didn't want anyone to suspect them that they were taking from the Ketores. If a person married a girl who wasn't from this family of the Beis Avtinus, then hayaposek ima al menashe lo tisbasen. The original marriage agreement, the contract, was a commitment that they would not use these fragrances, so no one would suspect them. Shelo yomer mimaisa pitum akhtoris hemisbasmos l'kayim ashenemar v'yisem nikiyim me'ashemu mi'yisrael. Omer Rabbi Yossi pamachas ha'isi omer b'yushalayim motzasi tinok echad mishel Beis Avtinus. The word tinok here means a young lad. He was probably about 15 years old. Nobody knows exactly how old he was. Amarti lo b'ni me'ez mishpachat, where do you come from? Amali mishpachas ploni, meaning from Beis Avtinus. I'm a descendant of Beis Avtinus. Amarti lo b'ni avosecha lefishin iskavnu l'rabos kvodom. Now at this point in time, Rabbi Yossi suspected that the Beis Avtinus was hoarding their knowledge of the Ketores, the Maila Oshan, for selfish reasons, to build up their glory. Oh, this is a special Beis Avtinus. And therefore, they were being Mamayit B'Kvod Shamayim. As a result of the fact that they did not share their knowledge with others, it diminished the Kvod of Shamayim. L'ficha Kvodom Nismayit. As a result, the Churban Abayis came about, and they were no longer such hot shots. U'Kvod Shamayim Nisrab. And here, we have an insight of the Karbana Eda, one of the super commentaries on the Yerushalmi, and he says that as a result of the fact that the Migdash destroyed, it brought about a situation of fear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, as we said before, when we started a Vatron, that God demands punishment. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is going to turn around this whole story and our attitude towards the Beis Avtinus. Sachli Shimon ben Loga, I heard once from Shimon ben Loga. Melaked ha'yisi asovim aniva tinok echa mishel Beis Avtinus. We were out there plucking out the grass. Ra'isi oso shebocha. Ra'isi oso shesachak. I saw that he was crying and he was laughing. This reminds us of the last mission of Masechta Makos, you remember. Amarti lo, I said, B'ni, lama bachisa, why are you crying? Amali al kvod shel beis abba shen ismayit. That as a result of the Churban Abayis, the honor and the glory of my heritage is lost, my father's and his descendants, because it's no longer pitum haketores after the Churban. But lama sachakta, so why did you laugh? Amali al kavod hamesukon l'tzadikim liosid lover. That when the Migdash will be restored, there will be a tremendous kavod, a glory to the tzaddikim. Umara Isa. And what did you see? We're out there in the grass. Well, what brought about, produced this feeling of crying and then laughing? Maila Oshan Linegdi, I see a Maila Oshan. And I reminded of the Ketores. Numesi, lo. So this Shimon ben Loga reports that I said to him, B'ni, Hareuli, please show me, where is the Mailosha? Reveal the secret to me. Amali Rabbi, in other words, he promised him that he would not worship Avodah Zarah. Amali Rabbi, Mesores Biyadi Revosish Lola Rosalibria. I have a tradition from my Alta Zeda that we don't reveal this secret. Om Rabbi Yochim and Nuri. Pogabi Zokin Echemishal Besavtinos, Umegila Samonin Biyada. One time I met an elderly statesman who came as a descendant of Ben Atinas with a Megillas Samemonin. He had on a scroll all the secrets of how to create the Ketores and how to identify the Ma'ala Oshan. Amali, Rebbe, L'sha'avar haya beis abots nuim. In the past, the family tree of beis avtinas were tznuim. Tznuim means they hid the secrets and they would never share this Megillah Samamonim with anyone else. V'hayu, here we turn to Yudalad on the base. Hayu Mosuvis HaMegillah Azos Elu V'Elu. It was passed on father to son, father to son. But V'Achshav She'ein Beis Abba Ne'monim. We no longer have the Beis Abba. Now, Heilches HaMegillah, I'm going to give you, says this Zaken, to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. I'm going to share with you this Megillah on the condition, Hizarba, that you be very careful, make sure it doesn't get into the hands of someone who's not righteous. Ukshabasi Virtsesi, called Advarm Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And when this whole story was reported to Rabbi Akiva, Zolgu Einov Demos, he started crying. The Omar, and he said, we were suspicious of the Beis Avtinus. We thought that when they responded to us that we don't want to share the mice of Pita Maktoris with others, is because we don't want it to get into the hands of someone who's not Hagu, and it might be used in the wrong way, misused and abused. Now I see that we falsely suspected the Beis Avtinus, that in truth they were Nemanim, they were reliable, they were Lashem Shamayim Me'ata, Einon Utsrichim Laskirim Lignai. We should never mention them Lignai. And here there's a whole discussion in the commentary. So why did the Mishnah mention them Lignai, if now we found out retroactively that we falsely accused them? Now the Mishnah tells us that Lazar ala parochas, he was in charge of the parochas to make sure it was clean and replaced. Shaya memune al orge parochas, he also oversaw the process of weaving the parochas to make sure that the umnim were bekiyim in that malacha. Pinchas amalbish, he was in charge, Pinchas, of the big day kuna yamalbish, big day kuhuna gedola. He would make sure that the Kohen Gadol had the proper garments, the Kehuna Gedola, the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol. Maisa B'Kohen Echad, there's a story about one particular Kohen who was in charge of the Begadim. He replaced Pinchas at some point in history. And Hilbish Le'isteratios Echad. And he took these Begadim. And he, now the word Hilbish, if you take it literally, means he put it on this officer, Venosan Lo Shmona Zehuvim, and he was paid 8 Zehuvim, Istiamitreasar Yoivli. Some say that he gave him 12 Zehuvim. So I'm not exactly sure if the Mesifta here let me down. He doesn't have any commentary. Let me just take a look if by chance, in the English translation, he adds something.
He quotes the Pnei Moshe.
Yes. What page are you on?
Page 14b1.
14b1. Okay, just want to follow with you inside.
The Gemara relates an incident which illustrates the value of a skillful valet.
Dressed the military officer. So the officer gave him 8. No, I don't see any footnote here.
Skillful valet. That's the Pnei Moshe.
Yeah, okay, fine. But why did this Kohen dress up a military officer in order to get payment? I don't get it. Unless this is a Lignai, not Lishvach. I don't know.
Just about that, it says he would dress the Kohen Gadol in his vestments. That is, he acted as the Kohen Gadol's personal valet.
No, that I understand. I'm in the next piece of Gemara. You're behind me. I'm ahead of you. I'm in the Maisa B'Kohen Echad.
I understand. So what's the Rabbi's question?
Why would he do such a thing? I mean, he dresses up a military officer in Big Day Kahuna? Unless maybe, since he knew how to create Big Day Kahuna, maybe he made garments that were similar to the Big Day Kahuna, but they weren't really sanctified with Big Day Kahuna, let alone to give it to a military officer.
He doesn't say he put Big Day Kahuna on him. It just blessed him. The story.
Right, so maybe it wasn't Big Day Kuda. Since he had the expertise in creating Big Day Kuda. The Mishnah says, Ein pochas in mishiva. How are we doing? Oh, we still have 9 minutes. So we'll stop in about 5 minutes. Yeah, so whenever you have to go, you go. I'm going to continue another 5 minutes because it doesn't take me more than 5 minutes to put on tefillin. I know that you go to mikveh first, so you need more time. The Mishnah says, Ein pochasim mishiva amarkolin. So the amarkol is the supervisor who is on top of everyone. And there had to be 7 of these supervisors in the Migdash. And they were in charge of opening the Azara. And they had the keys to the Azara, to the courtyard, Ushlosha Gizbarim. And underneath their tutelage, their supervision, were 3 Gizbarim, treasurers, I guess you could call them. And they were in charge of all the Mamana Hegdash. You know, Hegdash was a major financial enterprise. And they were in charge of evaluating what's called erchin, if a person took a vow, or charamim, or hekdeshos. And they were under the control and the supervision of the amarkolin. And we're going to see soon that on top of the amarkolin, there was a higher level. The ein osin sroel at sivur pachas mishnayim. This is already a sugya mesechta Sanhedrin, that whenever you appoint someone as a srora, he's on the tzibur, and he's in charge of the mammon that belongs to the tzibur. We can only appoint him as such by 2 people. That's 2 people who are part of the higher court would have to supervise his appointment of any srora b'Yisrael chutz. The only exception were the doctors. Remember, there was a special gastro guy for the kohanim. His name was Ben Achia, Shal Choli Meayim Elazar. He was in charge of the paroches, to make sure the parochas was well attended to. And Osan Kiblu Rovat Tzibra Lehem, as long as the community was happy with their work, that was considered a srara. They didn't need to have 2 official members to appoint them. Ein pochasin.
It was the Dr. Fauci of the
Talmud. One more time, I'm sorry, Benji.
It was the Dr. Fauci of the Gemara.
A doctor of the Gemara?
Dr. Fauci.
Oh, the Fauci.
An expert, Mumcha.
He was the Fauci of his time. Ein pochasim mishlosha gizbar mishiva amarkolin. There's a whole discussion here about the etymology of the word amarkolin. It's an Aramaic combination of words. But that's not for us now because we have to go daven. But tani mishnei katelikin, which means that on top of these 7 amarkolin were 2 Talikin. Talikin were even on the highest level to oversee the work of the Amar Kolin. Hadod Dichsiv. Now in Divrei Hayomim, which is full of names and tells you about lineages and genealogies, so there's Yechiel and Azazyahu Vinachas. These 3 were Gizbarim. As we said before, the Mishnah, you needed 3 treasurers. And then it was Asol, Viroma, all these names. These were 7 names who were on top of the Gizborim. They were the Amarkolin. And then on top of them were the Pekidim. And their names were Kananya and Shimi. And they were the Katelikin. And then it says, B'mifkad Yizchiyo, HaMelech Azaryo, Nogid, Beis Elokim. All these were appointed during the reign of Chizkiyo HaMelech. You know, Chizkiyo HaMelech was almost the Melech HaMashiach. And Azaryahu was the Kohen Gadol at the time. It's so fascinating that during the period of Bayis Sheni, Tosfos goes to the list of names of those Kohanim Gadolim who were not Tzedukim during the second half of Bayis Sheni, and almost every one of them had the name Azariah. And we'll finish up. Kshu Chosem, Hagizbar Chosem, Nosel Amarkol, Amarkol Chosem, Nosel Litak, Talikinon, and Talikinon, Kikon, there was an entire system of adding the seals. A seal is a chotem on Divrei Kodesh, on Hegdesh, to make sure that there was no embezzlement of Hegdesh. And it went from the lower level to the higher level, and the highest level until it got to the Kohen Gadol, he would add his chosem and kshu matir. When they would take it apart, they would bring it to the king. The Kohen Gadol had brought his chosem to the king. The king added his chosem, his seal. The Melech Roach Chosmo, The Melech saw his chosim, identified it. He gave it over to the Kohen Gadol. He would break his seal, give it over to the Kohen Gadol ra chosma. He saw his seal, umati, he would break his chosim. Katelikin ra chosmo matir, Amarkel ra chosmo matir, Gizmo ra chosmo umatir. And that brings us to the Gemara about Ein Osin Srora al Atzibur b'mamon b'pachos mishnayim. So this is where we're going to stop for today. Let's make a note of it. And b'li neder, we will continue. Thanks again for joining me. And we should all be zochet to a great summer of ruchnius, of learning, of Torah, and continue in the Daf Yomi as we've done in the past.